You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and the Hagman Report, coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in Northwest Pennsylvania. Don't adjust your set. We're live on YouTube, but the image, well, the image is a static one because Eric, the tech, is out ill, and just keep him in your prayers because we need him. We need him to turn the dials, press the buttons, and all of the stuff that he does. My goodness. Keep us away from the buttons, but he's fighting off a throat and, you know, the old gunkiness, flu-like symptoms. Hopefully he'll be back tomorrow. Just a few announcements. Of course, as the show unfolds, we're covering a lot of topics, including but not limited to the primaries, the implications, what it appears will be taking place and shaping up for the summer. It's going to be a long, hot summer. Touching a little bit about what we could see unfold as we get closer to the general election with respect to the activities surrounding the political landscape. I also want to mention, if you live in the Twin Cities area tonight, tune into Darkness Radio. That's actually AM 1130 on your dial. Darkness Radio tonight. That's I'll be on for 2 hours tonight. Hours 2 and 3 of Darkness Radio on AM 1130 News Talk. Darkness Radio, the segment there with Darkness Dave. Actually, he's a great host. He is a great host. Actually, he does. He hosts Coast to Coast AM at times during the weekend. So he's a great guy. He does a great job on interviewing. But I'll be on the last 2 hours. So check it. Tune in about 10 o'clock to midnight tonight. I believe that's the time, or 11 to 1. I'm not exactly 100% sure on that. Can you believe that's the right before? But nonetheless, Darkness Radio, AM 1130. We're just going to Darkness, just go to darknessradio.com. I'll be talking about my book and some information that's not in the book. And don't forget, we still have the offer, too, at standbyblood.com. If you want to click on that link, or just go to standbyblood.com, I still have copies of my book. If you'd like to get it personalized and have me send it to you, I'll do that. Get it right out to you. That's standbyblood.com. Just proud to mention that Pro Flowers can really, really help us all out. Guys, Pro Flowers can help us out for Mother's Day. Mother's Day is this weekend. Can you believe it? I mean, days away. It's just not too far away. And Mom's always been there for us, hasn't she? She's never let us down. She does the cooking and the cleaning, and she gives you advice about your relationships, and she does, I mean, moms are moms. Moms are so special. And that goes for, guys, it goes for your wives, the mother of your children. That goes for your sisters and everyone in your life, really. But Mother's Day is special for moms. Make it extra special like we have. Go to proflowers.com and use our microphone code Hagman. That's proflowers.com, microphone Hagman. There, for Mother's Day, you can get mom 100 blooms. I mean, think about that. 100 blooms with a free glass vase for $19.99 plus shipping and handling. Or you can add chocolates, gourmet chocolates, and they're delicious. My wife loves them. In a premium vase for just $9.99 more. Go to proflowers.com today. Use our code Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N. You know, they truly take the guesswork out of sending mom or grandma or your wife the perfect Mother's Day gift. You can't beat the price. You can't beat the convenience. ProFlowers takes care of all of the details. You don't have to do anything. Just go to the website. Go to proflowers.com. And make sure you click on the microphone box Hagman. They're guaranteed to be fresh and last, be beautiful for at least 7 days or your money back. I think my wife's are on day 12 now or 13, and they look as beautiful as the day she received them. Oh yes, I got the 100 blooms for her as well, just to say thanks for putting up with me. Folks, go right now to proflowers.com. You can do that and use our microphone code Hagman, or you can call 800-PRO-FLOWERS and mention Hagman if you'd like to call them to place your order. Or, as I said, visit proflowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right-hand corner. Type in Hagman. That's proflowers.com. Click on the microphone. Type in Hagman. Mother's Day is this weekend, so order today. Remember the offer, 100 blooms with a free glass vase. Time's running out. That offer expires Friday at midnight. So go to proflowers.com, microphone code Hagman.
All right. Let's get right back into news. I wanted to hit this story. This is the first thing I came across when I got up this morning. Court takes child from mother after she mentions chemtrails at school. This is from Boulder, Colorado. A Boulder, Colorado judge has removed a child from her mother's care because the mother believes chemtrails are being sprayed into the atmosphere. Court documents reveal. Boulder judge D.D. Mallard told Becca that 99% of people would know these are just contrails, and said she is so immersed in fringe subculture that she is a danger to her daughter. I can now only see my daughter with a social security worker standing over me taking notes, and the judge said this was so that if I mentioned chemtrails, they would put a stop to it. Becca pointed out there has never been any neglect nor abuse or any allegations of either from the court or her daughter or their school. There have been no criminal charges and no protective service visits. She's being railroaded for expressing her views on chemtrails, she says. And this is important because it sets a very dangerous precedent. The school helped social services take their child away from this woman. It says an historic lawsuit has been filed in Canada in an effort to expose and halt the practice of chemtrails being sprayed into the atmosphere. The suit claims that the Canadian and U.S. governments are conducting geoengineering programs that aims to spray toxic substances and particles into the atmosphere, endangering the lives of millions of citizens. Meanwhile, in Colorado, a judge has removed a child from her family home because her mother expresses her beliefs that chemtrails are being sprayed into the atmosphere. But what is shocking about this story is that, and this ties into yesterday. Let's just say there are no chemtrails, that they're contrails. I mean, this lady is telling her daughter what she believes she is observing. And it's not something she is, you know, hallucinating, or she's not crazy, saying she has, you know, an invisible best friend next door. I mean, this is what it's coming down to in the United States. Taking a child away from a parent because of, we'll call it, conspiracy theories. Talking about conspiracy theories. And at the same time, while this is going on, in this next piece is very important, because this is what we're going to see happening on the mainland USA very soon. Democratic Attorney General targets 90 conservative groups in climate change racketeering suit. The Attorney General of the U.S. Virgin Islands is targeting dozens of conservatives and libertarian organizations in a racketeering lawsuit against climate change skeptics. And it is increasing. This article goes on to talk about this is an effort to silence political opponents. In the subpoena issued in March, the office, USVI Attorney General Claudette Walker, demanded from ExxonMobil copies of communications between the oil company and 90 different political and policy organizations and any other organizations that engaged in research or advocacy concerning climate change or policies. The subpoena was part of a national coordinated legal campaign by state attorney general and left-wing advocacy groups to use the legal system against companies and organizations that disagree with the democratic policies to address global climate change. The existence of the subpoena was first reported by the Wall Street Journal in April. A newly released copy obtained by the Washington Free Beacon reveals the names of the organizations targeted in the effort, which had previously been redacted. Those organizations include some of the nation's preeminent conservative and libertarian nonprofit groups. The AG is requesting ExxonMobil communications with the Heritage Foundation, the Cato Institute, and the Federalist Society, the Hoover Institution, and many others. One target of the subpoena, the Libertarian Competitive Enterprise Institute, has already publicly responded to Walker. Its attorney called the Attorney General's subpoena a blatant attempt to intimidate and harass an organization for advocating views that you oppose. You demand, your demand on CEI is offensive. It's un-American, it's unlawful, and it will not stand, wrote Andrew Grossman, an attorney with the Washington firm Baker Holster, which either withdraw it or expect to fight it. Walker's efforts will likely meet similar resistance from other organizations targeted by the subpoena, some of which have been made publicly in reference to its targeting of these groups. So, we have in the United States owned territory, Virgin Islands, a kind of what Loretta Lynch was saying in America, you know, we're going to have to figure a way to go after these climate change deniers. What was that, about 3 weeks ago? A month ago, maybe? Well, they're testing it. They're beta testing it here. Trying to use their power over the justice systems to gather information on people that disagree with them in order to shut them down and throw them in jail. Now, this all stemmed, this whole idea started as there was a meeting in January at a Rockefeller-owned, at the Rockefeller-owned, January 8th, the participants huddled at a meeting at the headquarters of the Rockefeller Family Fund, a left-wing foundation. At the meeting, RFF, Greenpeace, and other environmental groups discussed ways to delegitimize ExxonMobil as a political actor, force officials to disassociate themselves from Exxon, and drive disinvestment from Exxon, according to a copy of the meeting agenda obtained by the Washington Free Beacon. One strategy that activists discussed was to enlist like-minded state attorney generals to use their powers to go after those that disagree.
It was interesting that you bring this up, because, folks, I don't know whether you saw this in the Washington Times yesterday. The Washington Times reporting in print, a national newspaper, about global warming. This is an article. Actually, it has a publication date of today. I think it was, it was published, I guess, in today's print edition. It might have appeared yesterday in the electronic edition of the Washington Times, The Return of Pseudoscience by Richard Rahn. Referencing this? Yes? No? You were talking about the Post article.
The Post. The Washington Free Beacon.
Or the Free Beacon. That's right. Okay, well, this astounded me, because the global warming industry lashes out in defense of its funding. It's interesting. This article by Richard W. Rahn. Folks, pay attention to this. The Return of Pseudoscience. In the Washington Times itself. Here's the deal. Here's what the article says, because this gives you insight now into the globalist, aspect of this. Okay. Here's what the article says. It says, this past month, I received an email from a European friend, (parentheses), who's got a doctorate in chemistry, saying, "Dear Richard," now again, remember, this is written by Dr. Richard W. Rahn. "Dear Richard, now you're a member of this illustrious club, !! I'm beginning to be afraid. What's going on? It seems that my name had been put on a global warming disinformation database." The author writes, "This past Saturday, the Wall Street Journal, in its lead editorial on the climate police," now the climate police in quotation marks, "noted that the Attorney General of the U.S. Virgin Islands has demanded that the Competitive Enterprise Institute, the CEI, cough up a decade of emails and policy work, as well as a list of private donors," parenthetically now, as if the First Amendment did not exist, "because the Institute had the audacity to question." New York Attorney General is referenced here. Invited more than a dozen state attorneys general to join them in investigating fossil fuel companies. Notice the wording here, fossil fuel companies. Fossil fuel, are we talking about oil? Is oil a fossil fuel? Well, at least in this article it is. But the New York Attorney General has invited more than a dozen states attorneys general to join them in investigating fossil fuel companies and their donations. Because why? Because they raised questions about some of the science used by the global warming lobby. Gore joined him at the press conference. This is the same Al Gore who told everybody back in January of 2006 that unless we took drastic measures, of course, to reduce greenhouse gases, in only 10 years, the Earth would reach a point of no return. Gore told us that the Arctic Ocean would be largely free of sea ice by 2010. Now, the last time we checked, ice still there? Now, the author writes, "What is going on is nothing more than modern-day Lysenkoism." This is after Lysenko. Trofim Lysenko. Now he's the guy that rejected the Mendelian inheritance and the evolutionary theory of natural selection. He believed that acquired characteristics of a plant, for example, grafting of fruit trees, would be inherited by later generations. Lysenko was unable to win his arguments by empirical evidence or sound theory, but since Stalin liked his ideas, it was made illegal to have any other opinion. hence the term Lysenko, Lysenkoism. So, finally, after the changes in the Soviet leadership, a physicist by the name of Andrei Sakharov spoke out against Lysenko in the General Assembly of the Academy of Sciences in 64, that's 1964, saying that he's responsible for the shameful backwardness of the Soviet biology and genetics in particular, for the dissemination of pseudoscientific views, for adventurism and such, and I can go on and on and on. But the takeaway from this is the global warming lie is coming apart at the seams. And now the question is who's funding this, and what's this all about? Well, the globalists need global warming to convince you and I and everyone else that unless we reduce our carbon emissions, drive less, use less, consume less fuel, then of course we're all dead. So this gives a moral imperative to the unwashed masses to move into containers, to bicycle their way to work if they are lucky enough to have a job, or better yet, don't eat cows, or you know, just stay away from all that, because well, we need to save the planet. But this goes to Earth worship. This goes to Gaia worship. It is a plank of the Communist Manifesto, which is one of the Trojan horses of the globalist agenda. So this is how this global warming fits in. If you are in favor, if you've got money and you're in favor of climate control initiatives that include global warming, then of course you are in favor of a new world order, and of course having the Mother Earth as your goddess. And this is all about Earth worship. Don't forget Earth Day, April 22nd, when it was, happened to be my birthday, but 74, 75, when it first started. And it all springs from Earth worship. It all springs from this Gaia worship. It all springs from the Mother Earth. And, of course, it's a cult in nature. So, anyway. Before, I just want to say one thing, too. Also appearing in the mainstream media, at least referenced, I'm not going to say appeared, Benghazi news. Because remember what we were talking about earlier. One email in the latest batch of emails from Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton, released under a Freedom of Information Act request, shows very clearly that the plot to cover up the real cause of Benghazi, that attack that killed Stevens and three others, began in the White House and was undertaken just to make Obama look good during an election cycle. You talk about making something political. How shameful. See, other emails and memos had shown that the State Department under Clinton, as well as other agencies, knew while the attack was happening that it was being led by at least two terrorist groups, and they had been planning this attack for some time. Okay? They knew about this, yet they did nothing about it, instead blaming it on, of course, a spontaneous obscure internet video. And we had the spokesperson for the filmmaker of that video on our program. Now, let me say flat out, when we had him on our program, the pre-interview that we did with him did not match the interview on air that we did with him. And quite frankly, that interview stunk to high heaven. It stunk to high heaven. And his name was Stephen Klein.
Yeah, I had a lot to say off air, but when we got on there, he really just changed his tune and
yep,
said as little as he could.
See, you know what, Joe? The time is late. And we have to start. I mean, we need to start calling these people out. And Stephen Klein, if you're listening, and I doubt that you are, but if you are listening, I welcome you to call in and perhaps rethink and restate what you said during that interview. It was interesting how we came about that interview and how that whole thing came about. And we were gamed. We weren't gamed, or at least he attempted to game us. I think we cut that interview short by memory. I can't believe we were gracious to him. But see, the fact is this. The video itself can be traced back to John O. Brennan. Circling back to what we started out our program with. John O. Brennan, the head of the CIA, and of course during his time as the security advisor to Obama, headed his own private security firm, worked with another security firm as well, and the distribution of that film, The Innocence of Muslims, the iterations and the people involved all led to the CIA. Yes. So now these emails are coming out, the Clinton emails. Now they're coming out and they're proving what we have been saying for quite some time.
I think the National Enquirer picked up on this a few days ago. The headline from one of its recent articles, sociopath Hillary Clinton's secret psych files exposed.
Wait a second. You know what's sad? You said sociopath. I immediately knew who you're talking about.
As I said, this from the National Enquirer. While they secretly suffer from insecurity, shame, and humiliation, they often demand special treatment and become impatient and angry when they don't get it. Expressed one mental health official. And this is talking about, this is a, I gotta go slide by slide almost. New York psychotherapist Gilda Carly, author of Don't Bet on the Prince, noted Hillary appears to have an inflated sense of self-importance and a problem fitting in with regular people. Hillary appears insecure in certain social interactions, like when she's on TV talk shows hosted by other women. She has trouble being a girl's girl. Instead, she appears uncomfortable and awkward. And this goes through a whole bunch of notes and different things about Hillary Clinton. Basically, boils down to being she's basically a sociopath. Out of her mind.
By definition. Yes.
And she also had come out and said the FBI had not contacted her. And, what's the status of the investigation into her private emails? It's just obviously there is something very wrong with this presidential race, from the correspondence dinner jokes that Obama made referencing the next president being a woman, or that Hillary Clinton was going to win, to her laughing in response to a question about possible indictments.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just, ladies and gentlemen, think of it like this. Put yourself in her shoes just for 1 second.
Oh, the
say
what,
that
size 11 double D's.
You're guilty of a crime, and just for the sake of this little scenario, we won't even take it to treason. We'll just say mishandling of classified information, whatever charge that warrants, and you're guilty of it. And you sit down and you're in a public arena, you're being interviewed, your interview is going to go across national television for the world to see as you run in an election to become president on the Democratic side.
Mm-hmm.
You're asked if you're asked by the interviewer if you're concerned with an investigation, an ongoing investigation about you, which the information has already been public. She broke the law, and she did so knowingly. And she laughs about being asked if she's worried about an indictment.
Anybody who's broken the law
who's been asked a question if they're worried about an indictment, you would have to be a sociopath or a psychopath.
Either that or be so self-assured that there could be nothing coming down to...
Or you're just out of your mind.
Well, that too. Or I don't think any of those are mutually exclusive. You know, you can be all of the above. But yeah, yeah.
It's just...
You're right.
I don't know. We're in definitely a very special time, and the title of the show tonight was The Perfect Storm. And, you know, we're looking at the primaries, the political theater side. The perfect storm, or the reference there, is to the times we live in, the end times.
That might have been an off-air conversation, but I don't think he'd mind. I mean, he even senses, according to his statement, that he believes that, you know, we could very well be living in the last days and days. And I think that evidence, anecdotal evidence, he said, supports that.
Yep, absolutely. And again, the perfect storm, this being the bringing about the envisioning and bringing about the ancient hope. I'll say ancient because I'm using their words, not mine. From George Bush to Kennedy. When you go to Texas and you get the Dealey Plaza, you can read the inscription that Kennedy was going to read at the speech he never gave in Dallas, that talks about through goodwill and forming a new world order out of goodwill.
Yep.
As a not a new initiative, but as an ancient one. And that ancient initiative was the Tower of Babel. Now, it's no coincidence that the United Nations, and I just want to read the United Nations Agenda 2030, Transforming Our World, the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. And this is the preamble. This agenda is a plan of action for people, planet, and prosperity. It seeks to strengthen universal peace and larger freedom. We recognize that eradicating poverty in all its forms and dimensions, including extreme poverty, is the greatest global challenge and an indispensable requirement for sustainable development. All countries and all stakeholders acting in collaborative partnership will implement this plan. We are resolved to free the human race from the tyranny of poverty and want to heal and secure our planet. We are determined to take the bold, transformative steps which are urgently needed to shift the world on a sustainable, resilient path. As we embark on this collective journey, we pledge no one will be left behind. And you know what that means? That doesn't mean no one will be left behind, as in they'll slip through the crack. They mean nobody will be outside of their system. It's a global effort, a global initiative, and in order to build and achieve this global initiative, they need the cooperation of all the global citizens. This comes back around to Obamacare and the Mark of the Beast and the utopia, scientific dictatorship and utopia that they are trying to create. They want a new world order. We know the new world order is driven by the kingdom of darkness and the devil. We know that it is the Antichrist system that will be here when the Antichrist comes on the scene. It's a global system. It's a one world system, where there is no room for an individual, only the collective. Individuals will be sacrificed or destroyed for the betterment of the collective. And there is no class lines. There is no racial lines. There's only the controlled and the controllers. Everybody else will have to have an active role for the state or for the utopia. You have to be useful and engaged. And that could be as engaged could be as minimal as a device implanted on you or put on you that monitors, you know, where you are and what your intake of any substances and to, you know, everybody having an assigned job working for what whatever scraps they'll get. But there won't be, nobody will make more than anybody else. Everybody will be paid the same. Everybody will have the same size house.
Okay, Bernie.
It's like prison.
Bernie.
It's just like jail. But this is what this, the UN, through the, I'll just say American foreign policy leaders over the last 50 years, have created through the spiritual darkness. And yesterday we talked about the apathy and the incrementalism or subtlety in which the societal changes have and cultural changes have entered and have destroyed morality. And you look at the church and it's in such a destroyed state today. And, you know, people, they play church. They don't have Jesus in their hearts. And it's right around the corner. I mean, this perfect storm that has been, it's unnatural. It's been formed. It's what we would call, you know, what we see in our real world, how they are, you know, the Sandy, Hurricane Sandy, how it took that never before seen hook.
And don't forget the hurricane,
Katrina.
9/11 that never happened.
Yeah.
That
it's a manipulated storm. And what they're going to do here is they say they're going to foster peace. This is the peace and security. The only, and this goes back to the jail reference. That this is how they keep everybody equal and peace through peace and security. You all make the same amount. You all have the same size houses. I mean, everything is equal. And it is basically a hive mind. You know, I was watching a YouTube video today, and I've seen it said 100 different ways, 100 different times, thousands of different times about, you know, this new consciousness, merging technology with humans.
Of course, yes.
Connecting to the hive mind.
Well, transhumanism and perfected.
And it just hit me, and like a ton of bricks, even though I already had understood it, of how close we actually are to the end of this world as we know it.
But see, people, you know, people don't realize that. It's unfortunate, but they don't.
We are one disaster away. We're one excuse or justification from the elite. All they need is one reason to say, okay, you know, this is it. Yeah. Everybody get in line. You know, we're creating the zoo. We're the zookeepers. You all are going to get tagged and bagged and put in your cells until we need you to work for us. And those of you we can't use, you're going to be terminated. Those of you who want to be individual, want to keep your faith in Jesus, well, we don't need you. You're not, I mean, the new world order. This is why we see the people saying that we have to be more tolerant and we have to be more inclusive. But it's for a society that will be intolerant.
Yeah, tolerance is, we are a country we don't have a tolerance or an intolerance problem. We have a problem with tolerance. We tolerate too much.
Absolutely. And they talk about, you know, having communities free from violence and from the fear of violence. And how do they do that? They say, how can we ensure that all human beings can enjoy a prosperous and fulfilling lives, and that economic, social, and technical progress occurs in harmony with nature? How can we establish peace? How can we, and they say they do this through partnerships on a spirit of goodwill and global solidarity. They will ask for participation of all people of all countries to integrate and integrate with nature for the sustainable development goals are of crucial importance, ensuring that our purpose of the new agenda is realized. It goes on to make a declaration. This is from the declaration from September 27, 2015 on the UN, and that they say they serve the better humanity for a person-centric set of universal and transformative goals and targets. They commit themselves for the working tirelessly for the full implementation of this agenda. They understand that eradicating poverty is a hard goal, but they are committed to achieving it, they say. But bottom line, they say they embark on this collective journey where no one will be left behind, recognizing that dignity of the human person is fundamental. And this agenda is unprecedented in scope. It's accepted by all countries, and it is acceptable to all. It won't matter about nationalities.
Yep, that's right.
It won't matter about politics or priorities. These are now universal goals and targets which will involve the entire world, developed in developing countries. It goes on to say that the goals and targets are the result of all this collaborative work between nations through the United Nations that equal their vision. And their vision is a new world that has transformed, free of poverty, hunger, disease, and want, where life can thrive, a world free of violence, a world of universal literacy, a world with equitable and universal access to education, health, social protection, where physical, mental, and social well-being are assured, a world where communities regard the human right to safe drinking water. It goes on. It says that it's going to be a world where every woman and girl enjoys full gender equality and all legal, social, and economic barriers to their empowerment will be removed. It is a tolerant, open, socially inclusive world in which the needs of most of the world's vulnerable are met.
Yep. You know, all of this fits together nicely. One book that we have here in the studio in the office was written by university professor Carol Quigley.
Yep.
1,300-page treatise. We could use it as a doorstop. It's called Tragedy and Hope. And, folks, the blueprint for all of this is somewhat not summarized, but in some cases detailed, in other cases summarized in that book. But earlier in our conversation, as we're approaching here in the quarter hour to the top, I just want to mention this because we had talked about the dates being important to the people, as you had talked about, and how all of this fits together. And we have just completed. We're at the culmination of this 13-day period that marks Beltane, May 1st, May Day, and overlaps into the days 2 and 3 after May 1st. But the dates in April, you had referenced it, and I had notes on it, and just kind of let me I'm going to toss a few dates out here because this is important, and this does kind of tie up and goes to the larger picture, but consider the significance, because numbers are important to the Luciferian world elite, to the globalists, to the people who are making the rules, whether it's in healthcare, whether it's transhumanism, whether it's it doesn't matter, banking and finance, because significant dates are used to curry favor with interdimensional agencies as well as communicate the presence of their unseen hand. Now, consider this, folks, between April 18th, 19th, and 20th, during that span, throughout history. These days have always been important to these Luciferians, the people who, and you can mark these down, take a note of these dates, because you're going to see them come up and again, And if you look at this span, as of last month, consider what the headlines were during those dates of April 19th through, or 19th, 20th, 18th, 19th, and 20th, inclusive. Now consider this. When you look back in history, it was the, for the Jesuits, April 19th, 1541 was the day that Ignatius Loyola became the superior general, the first superior general of the Jesuits, and 21st of April, 753 BC. Now, you have to make accounts for the change in calendars and such, but Rome, the city of Rome was considered to be founded, and this is during the shepherd, the festival of the shepherd god, Pales. Now, April 20th, 571 AD, many people believe that's when Islam's Muhammad was born. That's April 20th, 571 AD. And it's interesting, Muhammad would share the birthday of Adolf Hitler, of course, being born April 20th of 1889. And we know that Hitler's birthday is celebrated by Nazis all over the world. 19th of April, 1775 was the first shot at Lexington in the Revolutionary War. And of course, 19th April, 1933, and you had mentioned this during an earlier program. That's when FDR, Franklin Roosevelt, took America off the gold standard. And then that period between 17th through the 19th, inclusive of April 1961. Folks, do you remember what happened during that time period?
In 61?
Yeah, April 17th. You were only nothing, right? That was the failed Bay of Pigs invasion of Cuba, that much controversial operation. And then April 19th, 1982, NASA declares Sally Ride as an astronaut, not because she's qualified, but because she's a woman. And then 7 years later, April 19th, 1989, USS Iowa. There was a sacrifice there of 45 lives, 45 sailors, when the 16th turret number 2 exploded on the USS Iowa. That killed 45 sailors. Many people forget about that, but many people also understand the ritualistic nature of bloodshed during this time period. And of course, the old familiar incidents, the raid at Waco on April 19th, 1993, and April 19th, 1995, when 171, not 168, but 171, that includes three unborn children. 168 plus three unborn children, 171 people died in Oklahoma City, the Murrah Building. And then 10 years later, in 2005, that's when Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger became Pope Benedict XVI. That was on April 19th of 05. And then 5 years later, on April 20th, 2010. Folks, you remember what happened? Just really 6 years ago? April 20th, 2010? BP's Deepwater Horizon explodes. Do you know that I killed 11 people and spilled tens of thousands? Well, killed countless animals, sea life in the Gulf. The reason I brought this up, getting back to Carol Quigley, he points out in his book Tragedy and Hope, how really the origins of the banking cartels, banking family cartels. On this, he talks about the secret control of nations by central banks. I mean, he admits this in this treatise. But the reason I mention this is because Bill Clinton was a student, follower of Carol Quigley, and a reader. And if you look in his book, which we have here, on page 968, Quigley mentions the connection of finance from London to New York that penetrated deeply into university life, the press, and the practice of foreign policy. And he states that if there's any secret organization that has its hands deeply into university life, extending out to foreign policy, it is the Company of Loyola, meaning the Jesuits, meaning, of course, that there was the secret power structure, and that power structure being founded by the Jesuits was extremely and is extremely relevant to today. In 1992, Bill Clinton, he would thank Carol Quigley in his speech of acceptance to run for the presidency of the United States, citing Quigley as being his mentor and inspiration. The reason, again, this is important. Jesuits, the institution of the Jesuits, the direct line of empowerment and empowerment between George Bush, Bill Clinton, George Bush, both of them, to today. As documented by a reporter for the San Jose Mercury News, Gary Webb. Okay. Gary Webb. And just very quickly, and then I know because we're getting to the top of the hour, but I just want to finish this off by saying that Webb made front page headlines by covering the story of a convicted drug trafficker who began racking up lawsuit wins based on the idea that being imprisoned and having property confiscated was judicial double jeopardy. So you know the whole thing that began under Clinton about you get stopped, you get found to have drugs, you got money in your car. Bang. There you go. Bada bing, bada bang. Well, Gary Webb talked out against this, wrote out about it. He was a reporter. He got deep into this whole thing. And it's interesting because the story is very interesting. If you do a really in-depth search on Gary Webb, he talks about the prospects of returning billions of dollars and seized property to people. And the reason I bring this up again, and I want to be quick about this, is because when you start seeing the cast of characters here, from Clinton to the current day, and I'm going to be quick because we're at the top of the hour, and we look at today as being perhaps the final day for certain candidates in the presidential election, or the marking of the final day. Follow the lineage, start connecting the dots, start understanding the relationships between the establishment Republicans, the establishment Democrats, or the establishment progressives, and those in power on the right as well. And begin connecting the dots between all of these people. Look back to the recent past. Look back to the even more distant past. You can go back thousands of years. But you begin to see a pattern, whether it's a pattern with dates, a pattern of events, a pattern of bloodlines, a pattern of power. The patterns are there. All we have to do is extend our lines beyond the dots as we draw in this picture. We can do that, and we are doing that via this program.
All right, I'm looking up for the clock that's usually on the screen.
Eric usually keys that up. We miss Eric. Eric, if you're listening, we miss you, buddy.
Yeah, if you can tell by our
there we go.
Flow and information here. There is the music that cues us out.
Folks, we're
going to be back with our third and final hour. And stay with us.
More to
come. We got
come.
Some more to headlines, come. And we'll get into some more in more detail with some of these serious issues. We'll be right back. Again, looks like Donald Trump wins Indiana. and Bernie Sanders on the Democratic side.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.